John chapter number 2. I didn't say John chapter 2, I said 1 John chapter 2. Right? 1 John. He's got three epistles in the back. You'll find them right before the book of Revelation in Jude. You'll find 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We'll be in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen and amen. All right. You got your place, say amen. All right, we'll begin reading in verse number 15. 1 John chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we ask for your help. We ask for your touch. Lord, this preacher realizes that without you, I can do nothing. And I pray, God, that you'd fill me afresh and anew. And help me, Lord, I pray, strengthen me, empower me to preach your word. Give me clarity of thought. Help me to preach what you put in my heart. And in my mind, for this hour, for these people, God, I pray you'd use it for your glory. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. 1 John was penned by John the Beloved. 1 John is a very intimate letter written basically from the Heavenly Father, though he used John to be the human instrument. It is the Heavenly Father writing to his little children. As you read through this little epistle, you'll find that he's writing to his children. Their fellowship and their assurance is the matter that is at hand. And I want you to understand, when you read your Bible, there is a difference between relationship with God, that everyone that is saved has a relationship with God, Father and Son. And there's a huge difference in that and fellowship with God. Not everyone that has a relationship with God has close fellowship with God. But God desires that everyone that has a relationship, knowing Him as their Lord and Savior, has close fellowship with Him. Amen. And He deals with His children in that regard. He deals with, in 1 John, some conditions. In 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, He deals with some conditions of that fellowship. He deals with the basis of that fellowship, is knowing Jesus Christ. He deals with some hindrances of that fellowship. He deals with things like unconfessed sin in chapter 1, 6 through chapter 2, 2. He deals with false teachers in chapter 2, verse 18 through 27. But nestled right in the midst of this is the verses of our text this morning in chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. He deals with the love of the world. And I call this Satan's spider web or Satan's world wide web. What is the world, preacher, that John writes about, that God warns us not to love? What is this world? Well, we could stop for a second and say that, number one, it is not the world of creation. God created, the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible teaches us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And so it's not the world of creation, the world that He spoke into being. It's not that world that He gets glory from. And that's not the world that He's speaking of. It's not the world of matter. As 1 John writes, if you were to study 1 John, you would find that as he's writing confronting a false heresy that had been brought about in John's day of Gnosticism. And they taught that all matter was evil, the only way you could please God was in the spirit, but that flesh and matter of all sorts was evil. And that's not the world in which God was talking about. It's not the world of humanity. We understand that for God so loved the world. Hello, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He's not talking about the trees. He didn't die for trees. He didn't die for the planets. He didn't die for the water. He died for you and me. He died for the world of humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So preacher, if it's not those, what is this world that he tells us to love, not the world? Well, it is the world of which Satan is the prince. John chapter number 16 and verse number 11, Jesus called him the prince of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul wrote and talked about the god of this world, the little g god. It is the world system over which Satan, the prince, and the power of the air resides and influences. The world system that is opposed, it's alienated from God, it opposes God's rule, it opposes God's order. This is influenced by Satan and his demons and manifested in many ways. This world system is manifested through men at times, different men that Satan uses as his instruments. He uses the media. I said he uses the men and he uses the media. He uses the airways. He uses music. The only people that don't think rock music is bad and satanic is people in the church. The rock musicians will tell you that it's Satan's music. It just died on me right there. God help us. Satan uses music. If he can get in your ears, he gets in your eyes, he gets in your mind. He uses movies. Y'all get mad at me if you want to, but God ain't glorified in a bunch of whore and killing and scary and crazy and filthy talk and a bunch of nudity. And are y'all listening to me? God ain't in it, and God is not in any way, shape, or form. And then he uses any other way that Satan can infiltrate and influence the minds and the heart of men. So this is the world that he tells us not to love. Not to love the world that is alienated from God and opposes God and is against God's rule and God's order. You understand that God has a rule for the home. God has a rule for the church. God has an order for the government. And Satan's world system is against all of the above. Y'all gonna have to help me preach this morning. Most Christians would sit here in church this morning and say something like this, preacher, I would never love that system. I would never love a system that's against God. I would never let Satan influence me. But why do we live for the gold and the glitz and the glamour and the gods of this world? Really? You wouldn't let Satan influence you? Let's go out in your car and look in your CD player. Let's look at your cell phones. Let's look at your calendar. Where do you spend your time? Let's look at your clothes or your lack thereof. Let's look in your cabinets in your house. It's preaching time at New Hope. Let's look at your careers. What wraps up? What are you seeking to do with your life? Love not the world. Let me say something this morning. What does our life manifest about our love and our devotion for God? Or for the world. Stop and think about it. The things that you partake of, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you participate in, the things that you purchase. James 4, James said, ye adulteresses and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, you can't be a friend of the world. That's what he goes on to say. Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't hold hands with God and hold hands with the devil. They're walking in diametrically opposed directions. Are you listening? John said it in John 17. Jesus said it in John 17, 14 through 16. Jesus prayed to the Father and he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It's been said many times, but as Christians, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Let me ask you a question. Are we being tangled up in Satan's worldwide web? It can happen to individuals. It can happen to families. It can happen to churches. Yea, it can happen to entire denominations. How, preacher? Think about this. We have professing Christians, church members, who are patterning their lives after the wickedness of Hollywood, that Hollywood promotes and Hollywood popularizes and Hollywood pushes on us. Ask yourself a question. Who do your children emulate and idolize? Say, preacher, I don't know. Well, who's stuck up on their bedroom wall? Who do they dress like? Who do they act like? Don't act like it's changed since we was kids. You watch somebody on TV, you think they're cool, you want to go buy clothes like them, you want to get your hair cut like them. Who is your children patterning themselves after? Who are you patterning yourself after? Is it the Bible? Is it the Word of God? Or is it Hollywood's idea for you? What's your life being patterned after? What's your home patterned after, mom, dad? Is your home the home that God has instituted and God has ordained? Or is your home the modern home that society, what's society? That's the world, says is cool and popular. And so we have individuals and homes that are being influenced. We have worldly entertainment that has influenced and impacted and infiltrated our churches, our worship services, the lifestyles of church members, the ministry methods. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about we have seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive, man-centered churches that are patterning their services after worldly entertainment to draw the masses while they are ignoring the master. You can walk in so-called churches this morning and you can find strobe lights and neon lights and smoke screens and all kinds of rock and roll music and all kinds of things. And you'll be, what in the world did I come into? Did I come to a church or did I come to a rock concert? I got news for you. This modern movement of the church that says come as you are, anything goes. Hey, let me just stop and say you can come as you are, but you're going to hear the gospel as it is. And when you trust Christ as he is, you will not leave the way you came. I'm telling you this morning, we've got a bunch of hogwash being piped down the throats of our young people. And this young generation thinks the only way you can have church and the only way you can be popular is to go the way of the world. And I'm going to stand here this morning in Walnut Cove, North Carolina, and I'm going to tell you that God's word still says, be ye holy, for I am holy. There ain't nothing holy about painting up a church and making it look like a rock venue. There's nothing holy about people, women dressed up in church in immodest fashion, standing on a platform. There's nothing holy about a man standing on a platform with his three hairs hanging out of his chest. Oh, are you listening to me? Got a bunch of ear bobs, and I'm talking about the men. They ain't figured out who's got the jewelry box at home, mom or dad. And then they come up in church. They up in the platform, them gay little selves. Are you listening to me? Ain't nothing gay about it. It's sick. And Hollywood and its promotion and its infiltrating and its influence and pushing the sodomy and the mess of this world and all of the effeminate lifestyle upon men. And it's pushed even into our churches. Tell you now, you got the popular preachers. They got their pants so tight they can't hardly walk. Call themselves preachers. Are you listening? No, I don't know who it was. I believe it was Hunter. Last week or two, his wife, his mother posted a picture of him in a pair of bib overhauls. I said, you ought to be proud of the young boy that wants to put on a pair of bib overhauls and go ride a tractor instead of put on his little skinny jeans and can't hardly walk down the road and he's scared to get dirty. It starts as a child. Train up a child. Train up a child. Train up a child. I don't know how I got off on this, but I'm going to preach it. Teach the boys to be young men and the girls to be young ladies. Dress like it, walk like it, talk like it, act like it. And it's infiltrated in our churches. Vance Havner said years ago, Satan's not fighting churches, he's joining them.
We see it in our modern government. We see that the communists couldn't take over America, so they joined the Democratic Party. That's documented fact. I'm not throwing rocks. And now they are infiltrating our government system. Well, we see it in the church. The church wouldn't sit here and say, well, it's all right to do this and it's all right to do that, but if you'll put Christian on the end of it, just this past week, I read where Brother Leonard Fletcher has been here and preached. Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote some great old songs like It's Under the Blood. And he talked about how he was riding down the road this week listening to a radio talk show. And three people on a Sirius XM, whatever it's called, radio station. It was supposed to be a rock station, but they were having a talk program. And they were talking about how our society has evolved. And talking about how years ago, when rock music first hit the scene, that Christians were against it and people preached against it and stood against it. But now, it has been adapted. They just call it Christian rock. Oh, my, ain't we having fun. And they went on to laugh. And they said, not a preacher said, the people on the rock station said, in just a few years, we'll hear about talk about Christian gay porn. That's what they said. You say, I don't believe it. Well, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, your mom and daddy would have never thought we'd have had rock and roll music standing up in churches. Love not the world. It starts slow. It never happens overnight. It's a process. So I'm going to ask you a question again. Are we being tangled up in Satan's worldwide web? It starts with the music you listen to, the things you watch. And you start to think, well, it must be all right. If it's all right for them, it's all right for us. Just because somebody calls themselves a Christian, just because a movement calls itself a church, does not mean that it's so. I want you to notice a few things right here in this text. Number one, notice the restriction about loving the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That is, the love of the world is forbidden. The love of this worldly system that is influenced and dominated by Satan. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, that speaks of our lower nature and the things that please our bodies. The lust of the eyes, that's our eye gate and the things we look upon. And we say, oh, that looks good, or he looks good, or she looks good. The lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life, that's vainglory. That's living about me, look at me. We're living in a proud generation. There's a restriction. He said, love not the world. Don't love that system. Don't look after it, long after it. Don't love the world and the things that are in the world. Then he says something about the revelation of loving the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you get that? If any man love the world, the love of the Father, that's God, the Father, is not in him. This is the fruit that is bearing. He's showing us that if we love the world, it's the fruit of us not loving God. So if somebody says, well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with all these things, preacher, and I don't think you ought to stand up and speak against the things in the world. I think we can adapt to them and use them in the church. What you're telling me is that you do not have the love of the Father. You cannot love God and the things of the world and its things. It is impossible. Did you get me? Affection for the world is defection from God. If you're in love with the world and the things of the world, what you're saying is you do not have the love of God. And then we see the results of loving the world. What are the results? He says in verse number 17. He said, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. That is the things that you're craving, the things you're living for. So let me ask you a question. Is what you're living for going to depart and leave you? Well, I got news for you. 2 Peter 3, this world and everything in it one day is going to burn up with fire. You say, well, I got to have this and I got to have that. No, you ought to be like the old songwriter said, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than all these other things in this world, because all the silver and all the gold and all the oil in Texas one day is going to burn up with fervent heat. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to last is what have you done for Jesus Christ? The results. So let's ask the question this morning. How, if this is the case, preacher, if we're not to love the world, and loving the world is a product of not loving God, and the result of loving the world is that it's going to come to a pass, everything I'm living for is going to burn up, how does Satan get Christians to forfeit fellowship with Christ for a life of vanishing pleasures? That's a good question, isn't it? If we've read the Bible, and we understand that the things that this world offers us, they're just temporary. We're only looking at things that are temporary. But there is an eternity. And the things of God have eternal value. Are you listening? Don't lose me. How does Satan get us to shift their focus from eternal things and to forfeit fellowship with Christ for a life of living for things that will not last? He'll use things. I want to illustrate this and preach it to you. Can I do that? Number one, he'll entice us. He'll entice us. You know, like he did Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He'll entice us. He'll try to get us to look on something that's good. He'll use things like pleasure. It's just fun, you know, popularity, prosperity, position or rank in life. He'll cast the bait, and the bait is cast. And what that bait is the wiles of the devil. No wonder Paul said, beware of the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the strategies. There's a trap there. You start living to please self and start living from one high to the next and start living to be popular and start living to be rich and prosperous in this world and start living. And it's not, listen, there's nothing wrong with having things, but when things start having you, the bait is cast and he'll try to get your focus off of just enjoying something once in a while to where you start living for it instead of for God. One of the biggest lies that Satan has ever told mankind is, try this, it's just for fun. It's just for fun. Because that little bit of fun leads into a lifestyle. And that lifestyle produces consequences. I mean, people ask the question, preacher, it's just one little song, what's the danger? It's just one little thought. What's the danger? What's the danger in thinking this? What's the danger in doing this? What's the danger in wearing this? What's the danger in going here, going there? What's the danger in listening to something like this? What's the danger in saying things like... It's the enticing. Satan makes it look real good. You know, when he promotes alcohol, let's just use that for a second, he never shows the man on the billboard that has cirrhosis of the liver and he's had a wreck and he's wrapped himself and killed around a tree and killed another family. He never promotes it that way. Now, he always puts a good-looking fellow with a nice, clean set of clothes on, sitting at a nice meal, or the big, tough guy out there working real hard and having a cold when he should. He's always going to paint it up and look real good. Are you listening? He don't show the man standing there with a cigarette with emphysema with a hole in his throat trying to get a word out. No, he'll show you the Marlboro man. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman. He's just enticing you. He's trying to show you how good it looks. It's sort of like that butterfly flying around. And maybe he says, oh, that's a pretty little thing to land on. And that butterfly goes over and he lands on the web. He says, I just think I'll sit here for a little while. And so the butterfly goes over and he sits on the web. And so now the butterfly is sitting on the web. But not only does he entice us, he's not happy just to entice us, He wants to engage us. See, once he gets us on the web, he wants us in the web. You ever watch the butterfly? You watch the little moth, whatever it was. He flew over and he sat on the net, on the web, and he thought, oh, I'll just sit there. That's real pretty. That's a nice place to rest. That's real appetizing. It's going to be so fun. You know, sort of the way church people do sin. I'm going to just try this one time. Me and my family, we're not going to make a habit out of it. We're just going to try it. And so they sit on the web. And then they go to move. And then the web gets all around. And then they get involved and engaged in the web. And what happens is after gazing, they begin going that way. And like Lot, they look and they lust. And then they begin to live down in the world. Y'all know Lot, right? Lot looked towards Sodom. He looked that way. He pitched his tent that way. And sooner or later when judgment came, Lot was a ruler in the city. And Lot lost everything except for his children. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm talking about he engages us. There's the desire that leads to doing and deeds. Admiring leads to accepting, adapting, attending, and activity. You begin to look at the things of the world. You watch it on television. You listen to it. You see what's popular, what's cool. And the next thing you know, you're trying it out. And the next thing you know, you're not just trying it out. You're involved in it. You are engaged in it. You're one of them. Telling you there's a dangerous worldwide web. And Satan wants to engage you in it. And once he gets you engaged in it, and you start, well, you ever watch that butterfly? He starts wiggling. He's thinking, well, I'm going to get out of here. But what he's doing the whole time is he's getting entangled. Satan will entangle you. He's just getting more and more wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in that web. The activity that began as a small taste, or I'm just going to try this, it's just on a trial basis, it leads to wanting and having to have more and more and more. The flesh is never satisfied. You understand, when you start saying, well, I'm going to please, I got a lust of the flesh, I got a lust of the eye, I got the pride of life, I'm just going to give it a little bit, I'm going to satisfy this desire. No, what you're going to do is you're going to dull that desire and make it even greater to where you got to have more and more and more. And you go from being enticed to being engaged to now being engulfed. Unintentionally, unaware of the fact. You become wrapped up in things that at one time you stood against and you avoided at all cost. If you would have told that butterfly, stay out of that net, it means your doom, it means your despair, you're going to die in that net, that butterfly would have avoided it at all cost. Are you listening to me? But nowadays, a preacher stands up and he preaches against the wiles of the devil, and he preaches against sin, and he preaches against the corruption and the compromise that's coming down the pipe. And people say, who's that preacher think he is? Why does he want to dare say anything? It might not be that he's against you. It might be that he loves you and he cares for you and he's trying to watch for your souls. So what you used to stand against and be totally separated from, you now are wrapped up in. And then he'll engulf you. You watch that spider. You watch that spider. As that spider gets that bug, that little butterfly, he doesn't just leave him hung up there. That spider comes around. Y'all ever watch him? And he'll begin to wrap. And he'll put more on him. He wants to totally engulf him. And as in sin, the things of the world, eventually you become so involved in the things that you used to avoid. And you knew they would destroy you. You knew they would destroy your home. You knew they would destroy your marriage. You knew they were bad for your church. But now they become your reason for living. Now they become your desire and your passion and your craving. The things you talk about the most. What you're sitting here this morning thinking about the most is your little G God. The things you crave and you love and you've got to have and you long for more, And now he's got you to the place where you are completely so engulfed by this worldly system that is opposed and alienated from God that now you seem to be a part of it. Preacher, it wouldn't happen to me. Preacher, that wouldn't happen to me. You know, they tell me that if you take a frog, if you take a little frog, and you get you a pan of boiling water, and you take that frog and throw him in that boiling water, they tell me that that frog will jump directly out. He don't want none of it. But they tell me that if you'll take that same frog, put him in that same pan with cold water, place him on the burner, and turn it up gradually, that frog will sit there and gradually cook to death. It's not that sudden overnight thing. It's that little by little by little, a step here, a step there, a standard dropped here, a standard dropped there, a conviction left and ignored here, an appetite pleased here, a taste there, and you're engulfed. And what happened? What happened, preacher? I never would have done this. I never thought, I never dreamed I would have been involved in this affair. I never dreamed I would have been involved in this drunkenness. I never dreamed that I would have done these drugs. I never dreamed that I would have gone out of church altogether. I never dreamed that I would have walked off from my family. I never dreamed that I would have done such and such. I never dreamed, preacher. I never had any intention. I never had any thought. It started with enticing. It led to engaging. It led to engulfing, entangling. And now, he'll end you. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Like that little butterfly, it was designed to fly. The butterfly was not designed to be tangled up in a web. The butterfly was not even designed to land in that web. The butterfly was designed to fly. A butterfly in the sky can fly twice as high. But he was caught in the web. He was engulfed by the spider. And just the same, many Christians, day after day, they were not designed to be in this world. They were not designed to live and be happy and be contained and be all wrapped up in this world. But they gave in to a lust here and a lust there and a craving here and a craving there. And little by little, they become engulfed by the spider web of Satan. And they are now fully engulfed and they are ended. They looked, they lusted, they lived in the world, and they lost. Not me, preacher, not me, preacher. Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you live for this world and the lust, everything you live for, long for, one day will end and be gone, vanished. Preacher, I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things you need, the clothes, the food, you got to have them to eat. You got to have them to live. You got to have clothes to wear. You got to have somewhere to live. But he said, if you'll seek him first, seek his kingdom first, put him first, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. He said, if you'll do that, all these other things will be added to you. Notice verse 17. The world passeth away. Why would you love a world that's disappearing? Why would you get so wrapped up in a world that one day will be gone? The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But watch this. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. What are you living for this morning? Are you becoming entangled in Satan's worldwide web? Are you beginning to partake and to participate in things that at one time you would have shuddered at the thought of? You got saved and you hated sin and you hated the devil and you were so thankful to be delivered from a lifestyle of sin and the world. But over time, a little watering it down here, a little watering it down there, a little making excuse there, a little making excuse, and now you're living in the things that God saved you from. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You would tell that butterfly or that beetle or that ant, stay off that web. Don't get in that spider's web. What about when the Word of God warns you? What about when the man of God warns you? Are you going to heed the warning? Or are you just going to keep on wrapping yourself up in that? I'll get out. I won't go but so far. Really? Where are you at? Father, take the message. Speak to hearts and lives and help us. Oh God, in Jesus' name, we need your help in this day and age in which we live. God, we're praying for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost this morning. Praying, God, that you speak to hearts and lives. Praying, God, you do a work in families. Pray, God, you do a work in the work that only you can do in individual lives. I pray, Lord, there may be someone in here that slipped in here this morning that's not even saved. God, I pray you deal with that heart. Then I pray for those that you have spoke to that are saved. God, help us to be sensitive. Help us to be mindful and obedient. Speak to us. Change us, oh God, for your glory. In Jesus' name. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart.